I want you to go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to get started. I'm going to talk to you tonight about victory in the storms. It's not enough to go through the storm. We need to have victory in the storm. Every one of us have a first grade education in passing through the storms. Anybody got that t-shirt? But we're not going to just pass through. We're going through. We're not camping out. We're going to graduate the cycle, graduate the season. We're going to not back down, not be driven back, but move forward. Amen? Glory be to God. So I want to begin with Mark 4, and we'll see how far we get tonight. I want to show you the progression of the word of the Lord and to get you to set your compass a little bit further than the present storm you might find yourself. Who in here is just passing through a little bit right now? Raise your hand. Got a little fiery trial going? If you got a fiery trial and you're in the middle of one, raise your hand. Oh, that's about 60, 70%. So I'm talking to the right. The rest of you, pray for the rest of us. Hallelujah. Mark 4, verse 33. With many such parables spake he the word, and they were able to hear it. And without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Verse 35. And the same day, say the same day, when even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Is that a word of the Lord? Is that a promise of God? Is that a compass? Now you have to understand, he just finished expounding one of the greatest chapters in the entire word of God. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't understand the mystery of this chapter, Mark 4, how can you understand all mysteries? And he talked about the word of the Lord. I just want to take one part of that chapter in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. It said, the sower sowed the word. And then he began to give his disciples an explanation of that word. And in verse 13, I want to pick it up in Mark 4. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, and when they heard it, Satan cometh, what? Immediately. And take away the word that was in their heart. He comes immediately. Now when God gives you a word, when he says, let us go to the other side, he just got through teaching all this. He says, now I'm going to show you how this works in real life. Step into the boat with me. He got into their boat, and he speaks the word in their boat. He said, let us go unto the other side. Are they in the perfect will of God? Say it. Okay? If they're in the perfect will of God, then nothing should go wrong whatsoever, right? Don't you know they're excited? Don't you know after he taught that message that they're, oh yeah, come on, let's go, let's get them glory. He's taking us with him. He steps into the boat and says, let us go to the other side. This is the thing we got to know about God. When God speaks, he explodes on the inside of you. You go through a season where you are Superman. I mean, you are the man. When you go through that, you're ready. He gets you ready. That's what the word God, it comes in and it pumps you up till you're ready to take on. Let's get it. Come on. Just give me a devil. Just one of them stand in my way. And he gets in the boat with you. The word of living God got into our vessel and he says, let us go. Now some of the other sides are a little bit shorter than other sides. Sometimes you're out on the sea a long time. But you're in the perfect will of God. And here's what the enemy does. He tries to tell you, something's wrong. If it's not all perfect, I must not have heard God. Let me ask you, did they hear God? Were they on their way? All right. Verse 35, Mark chapter 4. And the same day, right after he spoke to them, that marvelous chapter. When the evening was come, he said to them, let us go unto the other side. It's the evening, starting to get dark now. The word of God is going to be tried. But thank God he's in the boat. I am going to learn sometime in this lifetime how to handle my trials the way he handles his. I'm still in the boat, but there's not a whole lot left by the time I get to the other side. But I made it. Hallelujah. I'm certainly not sleeping in the middle of the storm. And when they had sent the multitude away. Now, let me tell you something about the multitudes. They hear the word of the Lord, but they don't all make it to the other side. It takes something to get the Lord into your boat, and he gives you that commandment, and you've got to pass through some stuff. Multitudes, they don't know how to pass through that. That's the remnant. It's the remnant that gets the job done. Amen? And there arose, verse 37, say, and there arose, and say it again, there arose. When does the devil come? Is the word in their boat? Is the word in your vessel? Have you been given a word? Did God tell you things that are going to happen that are not presently happening right now? 100% contrary to what God has said. And there arose a great storm of wind. Not like the one outside tonight. A great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship. You get that picture? The waves beating into your vessel. Isn't it amazing when God stirs you about the time you step into that and you make your stand that I'm not moving backwards again. I'm not moving. I am going to hold my ground. This thing's going to turn around. Those waves come and they beat vehemently. They try to beat into the ship. You are the ship. The word's in you. It tries to beat inside you. In the perfect will of God. This is what I want you to understand when you're in the perfect will of God. Don't think something's wrong with you because you're going through something. Because we get a little visitation. We were in contending on Tuesday. And we had that same visitation came on Sunday. I don't know, some of y'all may not even know we had a visitation, but we had a little visitation. Well, that thing came again on Tuesday. That stuff comes. The enemy tries to come and stop it. See, he knows. Whenever God sends you somewhere, when Jesus gets you in your boat, there is a purpose that's far greater than us. We just can't see it. Those waves rose and they beat vehemently inside. They were crashing inside the ship. The disciples are going crazy. Somehow we got to get to where the disciples were. Do you know how far a gulf between where they were and where Jesus was? Do you know they probably weren't no more than 10 feet from one another in that boat? And yet they were as far as the east is from the west, where they were standing in their walk with God. The disciples all moved about. Jesus sleeping in the middle of a storm, crashing into the boat. Has anybody learned that art? I haven't yet, but I'm going to one day. Hallelujah. Watch what he says. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and it was now full. Full of water in the middle of the ocean or sea. And he's sleeping. That's like driving through a car wash with a convertible and sleeping through it. Just trying to give you some imagery here. He was in the hinder part of the ship. Asleep on a pillow. Who does that? Who sleeps like that? Man, he had a place 10 feet away from them, but he was sitting in heavenly places in absolute rest, and they were torn. It's okay to be torn. You're still going to get to the other side. Amen. The next parable, I'm going to show you how to get there by wisdom. And on the hinder part of the ship on a sleep, and they awoke him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? How many of us do that when we get a word and we launch in there and said, God, don't you even care about me? Don't you even know what's going on here? I mean, it wasn't just 2 weeks ago. You're telling me we're going to do this. I jump out there into the deep end with you. I'm there for you. I'm your man. I've forsaken all. I've done all the stand. I've laid down my life. And I'm getting a bunch of water in my boat. We are sinking, Lord. We are in the middle of the sea. I have nowhere to stand. We're sinking, and all you can do is sleep. It seems like God's like that. It's like, where are you? He's sleeping. Don't you know the disciples, they're getting their oars. Row, boys, row, row, row. Do something. And amazing, you get in the middle of a circumstance that you can't do anything about. God loves it. We hate it. To this day, I don't like being in that place. But how often we find ourselves and we think something's wrong. I can't fix this. I am in the middle of an ocean. The ship is full of water. My king is sleeping. And I'm a bunch of 11 people I don't even like half the time. We soon forget what he said in light of the circumstance. What did he say? Let us go unto the other side. When the word of God says that, everything else is irrelevant. Water crashing into your boat, boards being torn off your house, people fighting with you, clients dropping in, dropping out, all of that is irrelevant to what God has said. People loving you one day, hating you the next, irrelevant. Let us go unto the other side. Jesus, they awake him. I haven't learned to do this yet. I'm working on it. They awake him. He says, be still! You can't say that with authority unless you're still inside. If you're not still inside, if the storm's inside you, you have no authority to speak to it. We have to come to the place. If that storm does not get in you, then you have authority to tell it to stop. But if it's raging on the inside of you, you have no authority when you speak to it. You see what I mean? He says, how is it you of little faith? They're thinking, little faith? How is it that you have no faith? Isn't that amazing? How you handle your storms will determine where you're going to go. What did he expect them to do? He expected them. You know one thing they never said? Not one of them. Boys, it doesn't matter what it looks like. He was in the boat with them. He said, we're going the other side. That's it. Not one of them remembered what the Lord had said. In other words, the word of the Lord was not on one of their mouths. One thing that's so contrary to human nature, that's so vital and needful, that when you get in the middle of a storm and the enemy's raging around you and trying to try who you are, where you're going, the stand that you have made, you must raise your voice and speak the word of the Lord right in the midst of adversity. Stand there when every part of your body, feelings, emotions, and mind and will, nothing wants to do it. You stand there and declare the word of the Lord, the promise of the Lord. You declare it till the atmosphere changes. That's what he expects out of us. Nobody's going to have a rose garden without a few thorns. Nobody's going to have a path where there's no storm to be tried. No, the word of the Lord's going to be tried. But we're going to get through it. Jesus shows us another way to get through it. I'm working on that way. Right now, I'm just getting through. I said, Lord, I'm going to learn to sleep the next time, but at least I'm going to get through this time. Now, they get over the other side, and you know the story. There's a demoniac of Gadarene. And that demoniac, 6,000 devils living in one person. And Jesus goes directly for him. It was his whole mission to deliver that one man. When they came and he confronted him, he said, "What is thy name? Cast that thing out." The Bible says that 2,000 of those devils, or at least 2,000, I don't know how many devils, went into 2,000 pigs and drove them off the cliff. Can you imagine that kind of torment living in one person? Now, that man wanted to follow the Lord. And the Lord sent him back. He says, now you go back and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And when he did, he said he went throughout all Decapolis. Decapolis was a 10-city region of 10 cities. And he published the word of the Lord, made him evangelist. So when he went back there, the glory of God, they were already ready. They had heard about this man. And that one man produced a revival in those 10 cities. And he said, the Bible said he went about all Decapolis, casting out devils, healing the sick, delivering the maimed, the lame, and the blind, all because of one man. Because they got through. That storm is resisting more than just you. It's resisting what's in you and what's going to break loose on the other side of it. And it'll have far-reaching impact when you get through the storm. You got to stand in the middle of that. Don't fall apart because you got a little bit of pressure. Stand your ground, anchor down, say, no, not this time. We are not moving back this time. I'm not going to have a pity party this time. I can't afford it. I am going to stand here. We are going to stand and see the salvation of God. We're not going to be robbed of our inheritance. We're going to see it in the land of the living. Amen. Let's go to another one. Go to Acts 27. Love this one. Acts 27. Say, booyah. All right. Now, this is where Paul is on his way to Rome. Now, they're leaving Crete. And they're on their way to Rome. Now, I want you to see something. Verse 24 in Acts 27. I want to establish the will of God before we get into the storm. And it says, Acts 27, verse 23. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve. Acts 27, verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must, underline that, must. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Is it the will of God, or was it the will of God, before I talk to you about anything else, for Paul to get to Rome and to appeal before Caesar? Now, we're going to find that when God says to do something, there can be two different paths. Sometimes the Bible says, lead us not into temptation. We can avoid certain situations and circumstances because we can hear the voice of wisdom going in the direction. But just because we don't go in one direction, God has two or three ways to get to the same place. Some are more difficult than others, depending on how well we hear. Amen. Unfortunately, One of the guys in the boat heard the will of the Lord. The other ones did not. So there was damage, but God still got his way. Everyone say perfect will of God to go to Rome. All right. Let's begin. God's in our vessel. He's told us great things. Surely our paths will be bathed in butter. Surely we will not encounter not one ounce of a situation or circumstance. Because if it was God, then there shouldn't be any problem. Shouldn't be encountering any kind of warfare. When God's with us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Oh. God said, I'll go before you, make the crooked places straight. I'll deliver them into your hands. And they're going, yeah, come on. He says, are you with me? And they said, yes. He goes, okay, good. Now you go and do it. So he told the children of Israel. He goes, the prophet's lady goes, I'm going to give these people to you, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the otherites. Amalekites, I'm going to give you the ite anointing. I'm going to deliver them into your hand. Are you with me? Yes, let's go. When he gets them at the promised land, two of those tribes, they wanted to camp out on this side of the Jordan. God said, all right, you can have your promised land. They're going, glory to God, we're in the promised land. He goes, all you men, build fences, you're going in, and you're going to fight for your brothers. He goes, you're going to go in and fight for your brothers. He goes, you're not going to get a free ride. He said, some of you might have already inherited certain areas, and we have to come and fight for one another, see. And they had to go in, and when they, once he got them in there, he goes, now, you take up the sword, and you drive them out. Oh, I thought you were going to do it, Lord. Wait, the deal was, I remember specifically that you said you're going to deliver them into my hand. What's this about me having to do it? He goes, no, I'm with you. Go ahead, go. I'm with you. No. You're going to deliver him. I'm going to stand and see the salvation of God. You're going to deliver him. He says, yeah, I'm going to deliver him. I'm there with you. Go. That means move forward. Now, God speaks to Paul. He says, you're going to go to Rome. You're going to appeal before the greatest man, natural man on the earth. Paul was going to preach to that which was unpreachable, to the one that was inaccessible. God was going to put him right in front of him. And he was going to tell his testimony. God's going to get him there. Now, don't you know if Paul's on his way to Rome, don't you know if you're the devil, don't you know you would try to stop him? Don't you know he's going to try to do it? So Paul's in the boat. He gives him a centurion. This is how dangerous the devil thought Paul was. He assigns a centurion to him. You know what a centurion is? He has 100 soldiers underneath his authority. And he gets assigned to Paul. 100 soldiers to watch one man in chains. I'm like, he's in chains, but he's dangerous. Before they begin, when they begin, Paul's the one in chains and under authority. When this is over, all of those will be in chains and listening to Paul. All right? Acts 27. Let me look at verse 1 real quick. Let me turn over there. Man, I tell you, I'm excited about this. Acts 27, and when it was determined that we should sail unto Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. So 100 men under his authority. Paul's in chains, taking orders and under authority. By the time this is over, Julius will be asking Paul, what do we do? How do you like that? Amen? All right, here we go. Now when they had spent much time, verse 9, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Now watch this. Now, are they in the perfect will of God? Are you breathing tonight? Are they in the perfect will of God? And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Now, Paul is on his way to where God told him to go, but he's also discerning that we might want to just wait a minute before we take off. But he's under authority. He cannot make the decision. Somebody else has to make the decision. Like God's telling him, you're in the perfect will of God. You're exactly where I want you to be, but don't go right now. Wait. How'd you like to be in that position where you've discerned the will of God? There's going to be a lot of damage. People can get killed, but somebody else is making the decision on your behalf. How'd you like that? See, that's the thing about wisdom and trials, that you can be right smack in the will of God and go two different directions to get there. There might be two ways to get to the same destination. One's a much easier route. Lead us not into the temptation of the Euroclodon. Father, lead me around the Euroclodon, not right through it. Unless you're just a glutton for punishment. I've had enough battles in my day that I'm not a glutton for punishment. I said, God, lead me not in the morning. Lead me not into temptation. Lead the church not into temptation. Lead our businesses not into. Lead us around the storms, Lord. If we can get around them, let us get around them. I mean, not every storm is good for you. Do you understand that? Unless you know how to sleep on the boat, learn to pray this. Lead me not into temptation. Unless you are highly qualified to speak to your storms and still them all right there. Lead us not. There are ways to go right through it. You're going to be broken, but you're going to get through. But there's other ways to go around, and there's not so much of the fiery trial, and you get to the same place. Amen? Now, Paul discerns this, but he's under authority. That's the thing about authority. What's he going to do? He's under 100 men. He's got to do it. Verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. After all, he's the expert in the field. What are you? You're a prisoner. You think I'm going to listen to you? You're in chains. You are under my authority. He does this for a living. Can you imagine the centurion having this discourse with Paul? He's probably shaking his head. I can't even believe I was listening to the guy in the first place. The guy is a nut in the first place. I am commanded to take him over there to Rome, but I really don't want to do it in the first place. And he's talking about the ship and he says, sail on, brother. Sail on. That thing about listening to too many voices in your business, in your life, in your ministry, is not every voice knows exactly. God's going to speak to you first. No matter how wise they are, what God says to you, you've got to learn to listen to that. Because you feel, I just don't feel, I'm not going to be drug into that. I'm just going to wait. I know it's the perfect will of God that I do that, but there are two different ways to get there. Imagine if Paul and them just got a hotel room for a couple months. How much better things would be, not knowing that centurion didn't have a clue. They were going to sail right into the middle of a Euroclodon hurricane. Say Euroclodon hurricane. All they did is avoid it. That's like making the decision when the hurricanes come into the city. You know it's going to be lights out for a week or two. You either leave the city or tough it out. I toughed one out, and I've left the city. I like leaving the city a lot better. I mean, if you can leave and come back, you know. Well, where's your faith, brother? It's called wisdom. It's called Paul discerned that there was a, that there was a storm coming. I think I'm going to sit this one out. Or you can be the mighty man of faith who said, no, let's just go right in the middle of it. God is with us. All right. Verse 14. Sure enough, they took off. Sure enough, they sailed right in the middle of it. Now what are you going to do? Now that you found yourself in, let me ask you this, verse 14. And there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclodon. And the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive. Look at verse 18. I want you to see something here. Everyone look at your neighbor. Say, pay attention. And being exceedingly tossed, verse 18, with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. Look at verse 20. And when there was neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. You ever been there? You ever been there? It's like you heard God. He told you you're going to do something. You sailed right in the middle of that thing. And you're like, you haven't seen the sun or the moon in days. All that faith that you started with is just gone. It's like, I don't even know if we're going to last this thing. You get all these feelings running through you. Let me read those again. I want you, because something, you got to identify your storm. And then you start thinking, oh, maybe I didn't hear God after all. There arose against it a tempestuous wind called the Euroclodon. And when verse 15, and when the ship was caught, sometimes you're just going to get caught. Sometimes you're not going to discern everything perfectly. Your ship's going to get caught up right in the perfect will of God. Everyone say, I'm caught up right in the perfect will of God. I'm caught. My ship is right in the middle of a hurricane, but I'm in the perfect will of God. But there was another way to get there, but I missed it. But I'm still in the will of God. Perfect. I'm still going the direction I think that He told me to go. The last time I checked, we were headed to Rome, but I'm not sure which direction. When I get out of the storm, I'll let you know where my bearings are. Because sometimes in the storm, you don't know who you are or where you're going. And it could not bear into the wind. Verse 18. See if this sounds like being in the storm. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. Are they in the perfect will of God? Perfect will of God would have been to set out for a month or two. Let me just say this. Are they in the will of God? Don't you think every one of them, Paul included? Lord, I don't know if we're going to make this one. I think the last time I checked on the radar screen when I was on the mountain of God that we were going to go to Rome. That's the last thing I remember you saying. All I have seen since you have spoken to me is storms. God, would you please get me out of this place and get me somewhere it's real nice where the grass is green. Everything's sweet and nice. I didn't sign up for this. I did not sign up for this. I don't want to go to Rome anymore. It was a good thought, Lord. It was a good thought to be a king. Transfer into the wealth of the nations. To be blessed in the city, in the field, coming in, going out. Oh, that's a great thought till I got to Mammon's gates. I'm not sure I want that anymore. Let me go back to Egypt. At least they would tell me what to do every day. They would feed me. I'm in this dreadfully awful wilderness. Thank you for that, amen. It being exceedingly tossed by a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. That's what happens in your middle of a storm. Your ship will get lighted. You know what that means? Things get cut off. Things will drop off. Things that you thought mattered don't matter anymore. When you're in the middle of the storm, like, take it. I don't care. Just whatever. Break me, mold me, make me, get me out! Just get it done, Lord. Whatever you got to do, finish, please, hurry. I hope something's left by the time I get out of this. I went in here with a full boat. I have nothing left. I'm serving you. I have surrendered all. You're in the will of God. There was another way around. You know, we go through these storms next time. I'm going to take it a little slower. And I'm going to say, God, is there another way around this? Let me tell me right now. Don't get me excited about something. No, it ain't working on me no more. Come on, you can do it. Come on. No, I've had enough mountaintop experiences with you. Get me all excited and march me right in the middle of a storm. Get in the boat. Just sail me right in the middle of the storm. Waves crashing in. Your crocodiles coming at me. Nobody likes me. First person they want to throw out of the ship is me. Just throw him over. Throw the Jonah over now. We'll all be all right. God, get me on the mountain next time. Yes, we're going to do it. Glory. The nations. Stop. Father, if there's any other way to do thy will, let this cup pass from me right now. Because I already know there's nothing that you're going to go into unchallenged. But I'm certainly going to tune my ear and nail it to the doorpost to wisdom's house, just in case I might hear of another way to go through that thing. That at least I might have my ship by the time we're done. Because though they went through, the ship didn't make it. They made it. There's ways to get through. More of it makes it through. They would have waited. The whole ship would have made it through. But even in the middle of that, God has marvelous things he's doing. This is good. Verse 20, some of you might be in verse 20 right now. When neither sun nor stars in many days have appeared. God, I remember being on the mountaintop just last week. I haven't seen daylight in 7 days. Where are you, God? What did I do wrong? Nothing. If you were going to hear me, you would have heard me 3 months ago, but we're right in the middle of it now. There was a better way to go through it, but now you're right in the middle of it. Look, you're going to go through it. You're just going to do it. Sometimes hopelessness tries to set in because you're long on that journey. You're long in the middle of that ocean. I mean, there's nothing. You haven't seen the sun in many days. Nobody likes you. You don't even like you. Watch this, verse 21. Here's how you handle the storm when you get into it. Nobody is without storm. Don't think you can go climbing some other green pasture out there with no storms. That grass is greener, green pasture mentality. Well, I'll just go over there. Just soon enough you get over there, something's going to start happening over there too. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, don't you like this kind of guy? You should have listened to me." That's the last thing you want to tell a bunch of guys that haven't seen daylight in 21 days. "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." It's like the wives will tell you, "I told you so. I told you so." Father, maybe next time they'll listen, but I told you. Chris, your wife's over there, amen. And he said, "You should have hearkened," verse 21, "and not have loosed from Crete to have this gain, this harm, and this loss. I exhort you to be of good cheer." Who does that in the middle of a storm? Haven't seen daylight in 21 days. The whole ship has been thrown out. And he says, "Be of good cheer, brethren. Count it all joy." What is the matter with you? "For there shall be no loss of life." Oh, isn't that great? We started out on the mountaintop. We were going to be the evangelist of Rome. When we started out, we're bringing revival to Rome. Now we wonder if it's just good enough that we get out with our life. Everything we have lost in the sea, God will restore it all. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Now, I want you to see this. This is awesome. Yeah, amen. Have a little bit of laughter. Glory to God. "There should be no loss of life." Now look at this. Verse 23, "There stood by me this night the angel of God," who, listen, isn't that amazing how he's standing right there next to you? Haven't seen daylight? There he is right next to you. "The angel of God, who I am, whom I serve." That's the Lord standing before him there. "Saying, 'Fear not, Paul. thou must be brought before Caesar. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Let us go over to the other side. You will make it. You will become everything God said you'll become. The word of the Lord inside you will make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. And lo, God has given to thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. This is how you handle your storm right here. For I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I don't care if I'm in the middle of a Euroclodon hurricane. It shall be even as it was told me. Cyrus is coming. He's going to break the gates and the bars of iron. We're coming out of Babylon. Our land shall be married. I will be sought out of the nations. It shall be even as it was told me. I'm a priest of the Lord. I am named a minister of my God. And I'm being fed with the treasures of the nations. It shall be. I don't care if I'm sitting in a Leaf Center with a taco stand on the front corner of that parking lot. It shall be. Even as it told me. You don't think I see that taco stand out there? Got a $1 billion message. I know it's a good taco stand. I got an owner of this center. He won't even paint half the building. Started painting, forgot to finish it. I'm leasing and I got a $1 billion message that says I am an heir to the earth. And I drive by the taco stand. My sign fell out on the last hurricane. I didn't even bother to replace it because I don't want to be here. The last Euroclodon I was in tore my sign off. Are you going to replace that sign, brother? No! This is not my dwelling place. This is not the will of God. I see a better, far better land. I see a place where I own it fully. Where I can paint it when I want to paint it. And when they come and ask if they can put a taco stand on the front of us, I said, no, you cannot put a taco stand. Not anywhere around it. This is my domain. No taco stands. It shall be even it was told me. I have to confess that at least twice a week. Every time I make that corner, it shall be, Father, even it was told me, please. I cried coming in here. I'm crying when I leave. I cried. I said on the parking lot, God goes, that's your new place. I said, no, don't do that to me, God, no. I want my own building. He said, no, that's your new place. I said, no. I agonized over it. So, well, God's not God buildings. I understand that. But if you know, if you're an heir of the earth, at least you can have your own building, you know. Be nice to be manifesting the message you actually ask everyone to believe that you're preaching. Well, where's the fruit? Well, it's coming. Well, I'll come back when it shows up. The Mount Hebron inheritance belongs to us, the sons of the Most High God. Our gates shall be open continually. Day and night they shall not be shut, that men may bring unto us the wealth of the nations. Do you think you can get a little bit of that just to paint the front face of the building? That's what you got to do in the middle of the storm. Some of you don't think about that, but you got all that vision on the inside. I think about it all the time. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. God likes to birth in old barns anyway. Hallelujah. I have to go back to that manor theology. Okay, Jesus was born in a barn. Praise God, you're going to be birthed here in a barn. I'll take it. But I ain't staying here. After the birth, I'm out of here. He says, you're going to make it. You're going to drive the sons of Anak out of the land. You're going to receive an anointing of increase and divine multiplication. And kings will be raised up to march through the land. The distribution of the gospel. You're going to see it. You're going to live in it. But meanwhile, we got to try to buy the taco stand. Might as well give them some business while we're here. Tell them you love them. When you leave, you better eat good now, because we ain't having any one of those in the next place we're at. I don't have any foreseeable vision of a taco stand at our next place. Starbucks coffee, yes. I have a vision, have a Starbucks. We shall see Starbucks in the land of the living. We're going to emerge through this storm. Well, God, right in the middle of the storm. Now, this part probably wouldn't even been written. This is the amazing thing about God. Had they listened to Paul, they probably wouldn't even landed on this next island. But because they chose this path, God used this situation to bring revival to a whole island that probably would none otherwise been spoken to. So God, in the middle of his wisdom, does marvelous things. The ship ran upon the rocks and it cracked in two. And every man fell upon the island. They were all saved. They landed on the island of Melita. And that's when they were on that island. They called them barbarian people, but they were very kind to them. And they were cold and they were wet. And about that time, everyone was thinking, Paul, you definitely have missed it, brother. Last time I'm following a would-be prophet, I end up in the middle of an island, ship's broken, busted, and God's just getting started. They make a fire, and that snake jumps out of the fire and latches on to Paul's arm. He just shakes it off into the fire. Then those people said, this man must be a god. And Publius, the chief of those people, comes out and he meets Paul, and his father's sick with dysentery, and he gets healed on the spot. It says the whole island comes out and they have revival on that island, because you can't take the revivalist out of somebody. And it doesn't matter if you didn't make the perfect way. God used another way. I told you I heard the sound of the abundance of... That sounded like Ethan. I think it was Ethan. Hallelujah. Hey, that's another thing. We get a new building. Children are going to have their own sanctuary. Hallelujah. Let's give a hand for the children. Oh, man. They're awesome. It so touched my heart a couple weeks ago when they had them down here, and Sophia just reciting the word of God like that, just amazing. And so they had that revival. And Paul ended up making it to Rome. Listen, you're going to make it. In the middle of the storm, it shall be. Don't forget to contend and stand in the middle of the storm and say, it shall be. You're going to come through. It's going to break loose. Your sail might have been torn a little bit. God will get you a new sail. Don't worry about it. But you're going to get through, and God is going to do what he says. He's going to do in us what he said he's going to do. He's working all things for our good. This message is going to birth, and when it births, it's going to be great, great sons and daughters doing great things. And that mantle's coming in. The Capernaum inheritance is coming in. It's not always going to be like this. We're going to see our God in the land of the living. But while I'm in the middle of it, I'm going to stand there and praise him. And I'm going to be in good cheer. And I'm going to say, Father, it shall be. I don't want to be as disciples. How is it you have no faith? I'm going to stand in the middle of the storm and say, it shall be even as it was told me. I will be fed with the increase of the fields upon my mountain. All my pastures are in the high places. I will go down to the sea of humanity. I will do business in great waters. I will see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. I will not be denied. I will live free of mammon, fully free. I shall owe no man anything but to love him. I will, and I am, the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. I am first and not last. I am a lender in the earth, and I shall not borrow. All my generations will be freed from mammon's dictates. No more debt, poverty, lack, need, or destruction. No credit card debt, no automobile debt, no house debt, no church debt, no leases. Ownership, free and clear. Can you believe that? We will give into the nations, and we shall not borrow. Our gates are open continually, coming in and going out, day and night, coming in, going out. We shall not be denied. We will not turn back. Well, I've had my Red Sea experience. God's cut off Egypt. I don't want anything about Egypt. Egypt is a place they tell you who you are. They tell you what to do. Socialistic system of Egypt. Under bondage and hard labor. No, I want my land of promise. I want my own land, fully paid for, living in the blessing and the increase and the multiplication of my God. Amen? The goodness of the Lord, goodness and mercy following me all of the days. We're going to be like Isaac. We're going to come up out of Egypt. We're going to be the envy of the Philistines. I said, my God, what is on those people? I've never seen anything like that. Everybody's broke, and all they're doing is every time they turn around, they're blessed everywhere. The land can't even bear them. That blessing is coming. That blessing's in us, and it's coming into the earth. We will not be denied. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Whoa! I'm going to close with this. Psalm 66. Then we're going to receive our big, fat, glorious offering. Psalm 66 and 8. You know what I do at night since I can't sleep? I went to bed at 5:30 this morning. It's getting worse. I said, Lord, we've gone to 3 to 5. I'm supposed to go from 3 back up to 1 o'clock, maybe midnight. I'm like, all right, Lord, if I'm staying up all night, I'm going to use this time. And I sit back and I get my meditator and I feel it and I sit there and I dream. I just dream. I set the sanctified imagination upon what God has said and I just burn one image after another after another. I'm not burning in the image of who I am. I'm burning in the image of what God said I am. What God says in my future. I just burn it day and night, all night long. I'm just dreaming. And then I can't sleep for sure because I start dreaming of who I am. I say, that's who I am. Amen. Going to be a bit drastic change here in the near future. Glory to God forever. Psalm 66. You know, everybody likes you. Nah, I won't say that. Psalm 66, verse 8. Oh, bless our God, you people. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, and you tried us, Father, as silver was tried. You brought us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. You caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou hast brought us out into a wealthy place. Spiritually, emotionally, financially, physically, generationally, we are brought out of the net He brought our feet out of the miry clay. I see us coming out of the miry clay, and nothing, no one, and no devil can stop it, Father. You are with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I thank you that you're faithful, and I stand here and say it, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.